All right, I want to talk to you today about the road less traveled. We've been studying the book of Romans, preaching out of the book of Romans. And last week, we talked about a reasonable or logical sacrifice. When we understand, Paul said in Romans 11, and he comes into 12. By the way, Paul is coming off the lofty mountain of theology, and he's coming down and saying, okay, I've given you a lot of theological understanding concerning that you're just lost sinners. That without Christ you're nothing, but with Christ you can become everything. I'm just summing up. And he comes off of that tremendous theological teaching he's given us all through the book of Romans, and he comes down to chapter 12 and he starts talking very practically to us and says, how can you apply the things I've given you, basically? How do you put this work? And you know, that's the way I think. It's like, okay, I like that people say, don't sin. Okay, fine. Explain sin. Which is basically, really, the word means missing the mark. Which means you do a lot of shooting, but you don't hit the bullseye very often, do you? So we, on a regular basis, miss the mark. And if you don't find your Savior, Jesus Christ, in life, you're never going to hit the mark. We're getting ahead of myself. Let me back off here a minute. So Paul said, when we realize the mercies of God, it becomes very logical or reasonable to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice unto God. So let's read in Romans chapter 12, and we'll read verses 1 and 2 to begin with. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Reasonable service or logical, we talked about last time. It makes sense that you present your body. Now, that sounds kind of like it's an oxymoron or paradoxical to say living sacrifice, because we always think of sacrifice in the terms of being something being dead. But the Lord made it very clear. I'm not looking for dead things. I want things alive. God is God. God is the God of living, right? And he said it wasn't those animals. That was to teach you a principle. I wasn't looking for dead animals. I want a heart that's alive and that's responsive to me. And so what the Lord said, what I want you to become is a walking, talking example of my kingdom. And to do so, you will become a living sacrifice. So what am I sacrificing? I'm sacrificing myself. We talked about last week how if we lose our life, we find it. I'm sacrificing sometimes, many times, my own personal desires. I'm sacrificing what I prefer often. And you know, like I do, real life is about sacrifice. You want some money, you got to go spend some of your time to get the money, right? You want to be married, well, you're going to give up some of your independence when you get married. They have a name for people that don't give up their independence. It's called divorce. You want children. Oh, it'd be so lovely, and we could dress them alike, and they'd be so cute, and all those pictures that we see on Facebook all the time. We could post our own pictures and put the cute little things they say. But Luke, They don't tell you about the little booger keeping you up all night, do they? Luke was sharing his personal story with me this morning. Oh, I've been there before. I can remember coming home from a vacation trip one night with a van we had, and the girls were in the back, and one of the girls got sick. And so when we got them home, the first thing we had to do was clean chunks out of their hair. Paul is going, no, TMI. So there's sacrifice involved. But the interesting thing about it is that when you find the road that God has designed for you, you give up what you think you want. You give up what you feel like you have to have. When the scriptures say, don't be conformed to this world, in other words, there is a pathway that is set for you in the world, in life. It's what the world will tell you that you should follow. It's a pathway the world tells you you should be on. This is the way to go. I mean, you know all of the things. Look out for number one. Take care of yourself above everybody else, et cetera, et cetera. All these things. Everything that is anti what the Lord teaches us in the Word of God. So the world tells you this is a way to go. Walk in this. Let's look at Ephesians 2 and verse 1. Paul says, again, Apostle Paul, by the way, you know one thing that impresses me about these letters from Paul? Do you know all the letters from Paul were written before the Gospels of the New Testament were ever written? Paul didn't run over and say, okay, I'm going to get Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I'll write some stuff according to what they have. No, the Holy Spirit was writing through Paul before the Holy Spirit ever spoke through the disciples. And the beautiful thing of it, none of it contradicted, it all lined up. So Apostle Paul, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2 and 1, he says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. You were in a pathway that had no productivity. You were dead in those trespasses and sin. Do you remember thinking, if I could just live this lifestyle, how much fun it would be? And you first got involved in it, you thought it was just, this is the answer. And then it was just shortly after that you got involved in it, it became a prison to you. And you begin to say, why did I ever desire this? Why did I ever want to walk in this pathway anyway? Because now it's like it's taking me over. So he said, the Lord, you who once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, go into the next verse, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. So Paul tells us here, like he tells us in the book of Romans, the 12th chapter, don't be conformed to the world. There's a pathway that you were on that God has pulled you off of. He's made you alive. You were dead in those trespasses of sin. Kind of goes back to what he was talking about. If you go back to Romans, the 7th chapter, when he said, you know, there's a force inside of me that pulls me toward the wrong things. I want to do the right thing, but I keep being pulled to doing the right. I desire, but there is a law inside of me, this sinful man that wants me to do the things that are wrong. And he finally said, I don't know. I've been there. I don't know if you've been there. I don't know what I'm going to do. I keep fighting this. I keep fighting. Remember, we preached out of Romans that the snakes are never gone. Remember we preached that? That we keep fighting this flesh. Well, let me tell you something. You'll always fight the flesh. If you're walking with God, if you find yourself not fighting the flesh, you're in trouble. Okay? You're either dead, and you need to start looking for the Lord because he's up there somewhere with you, or you're still alive and you still have a heartbeat and the draw to the wrong pathway will always be there. But Paul said, don't be conformed. Don't let yourself be pressed into a mold. There is a way that seemeth right to a man. There is the pathway of destruction, the Bible says, is a broad way. A big path that you can get on. I will tell you something. I heard this not too quite some time ago, and I have found it to be so true. And that someone said one time, question conventional, what is called conventional wisdom. If everybody says, oh, this is the way you should do it, you might want to step. I'm not talking about just being a rebel for rebel's sake. There's plenty of that going on. But you might want to stop back and say, wait a minute. I will listen to that for a minute, but I got to see what the Word of God says. Because the Bible says the way to keep from being conformed to the old pathway of sin and death is by the transforming of the mind. The transforming of the mind only comes through understanding what God's Word says to us about something. Did you know only, this is a startling statistic, and I've read this not too long. Do you know that only like 60% of people who are prescribed a medicine actually take it like they should? The rest of the people just, my wife back here grinning, she's probably thinking about me and my vitamins. I said this morning, I'm kind of behind on my vitamins. She goes, you're always behind on your vitamins. You hit and miss on those things. But I'm healthy, thank God. So I don't need them all the time. But here's the deal. We pay good money to go to a doctor that tells us, okay, you need to take this and you'll get better. And we go, well, okay. We go pay good money for medicine and then we only take it till we get tired of it. or take it occasionally when we need it. Actually, the article said that people are actually more diligent about giving their pets medicine when they're prescribed medicine to their pets by the vet. Actually, this was from Jordan Peterson in his book that I was reading. And Jordan Peterson said there is a, and I believe this, There is a fault that we have in our flesh, and that is we don't like ourselves. We know we're fallen. We know that our nature is against God. And we have to come to the realization that we can straighten all of this out because he's made provision. I'm glad you taught. I started to tell you in your lesson, Jesse, to get in your own lane again like you told me last Sunday. But I'm glad God made provision for us where we can realize that he has sufficiently taken care of those weaknesses and he can give us the strength to get on the right road and continue walking on that road. Now, when I was driving a limousine years ago when I first came to Dallas and had a small church at, I think, Randy, the first time we met you over in Garland, Judy. But it was, the church was small at first, and I had to work, so I was driving a limousine, and we drove town cars because the bread and butter of that business was businessmen coming into DFW, going to the major businesses over in Plano and Dallas. And so I got to carry a lot of very interesting people. And it did not take long once they found out that I was a pastor or a preacher that people just start opening up to you, which I think is part of our nature. We want to be able to talk to people and share. One day I picked up an executive for JCPenney's, a really very attractive lady, very sweet lady. And I think she was a VP. And I was taking her over to Plano area where the JCPenney headquarters were at that time. And she, we got to visiting. And she said, after a while, she said, you know what? I asked her, I said, well, how are you doing? And she said, I'm tired. Oh, okay. Well, I hope you get some rest. She said, no, Randy, I'm not just tired. I'm tired of life. Really? And so I said, well, what's going on, you know? I can pray with you. And she said, oh, you know, she said, we've been sold a bill of goods. What do you mean? She said, there's no super moms out here in the world. We've been told we can have it all. And she said, I have children that are at home, and I'm flying from, I think, New Jersey here to Dallas. And I'll be in meetings, and I have other people taking care of my children and taking care of my home while I'm running business. She said, I'm going to tell you something. You can have a lot, but you are going to sacrifice somewhere. You are going to give something up somewhere. That's an illusion. And we've been sold a bill of goods saying that there's super mom that can do it all because you can't do it all. I said, well, I'll pray with you. And I was a little awkward because it's like she's really bearing her soul to me, you know. And so I took her, said, oh, I'll be all right. So I took her to drop her off there for her meetings. Well, there's a whole world full of people like that. We're like herded up cattle. Oh, I have to do this. Why do you have to do that? Because it's what it's expected of me. Pushed into conformity, pushed into doing things that don't even make sense sometimes. Oh, I have to have a $100,000 car. Why? Because my clients wouldn't understand if I pulled up in a $10,000 car. Well, maybe you got the wrong clients. I don't know. If you said $100,000 car, people go, what is he talking about? But anymore, it's like, wow, you know? I have to have this kind of job. I have to wear these kind of clothes. I have to have this kind of image. And we get tangled up and we get caught up in a lifestyle that does nothing but deplete us and drain us. When the Lord said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly, stop worrying about what everybody else thinks. Stop worrying about your image. Stop worrying. You don't need a legacy. We've got the legacy as Jesus Christ, right? It's for his glory. Thank you, Callan. That's why we live. And I want to tell you something. If you live your life to point others to Christ, the scriptures teach us that if you humble yourself, you will be exalted. But if you seek to exalt yourself, you're going to be humbled. Seek glory, you'll never find it. Or it'll be temporary, it'll be fleeting. But if you promote the one who all glory belongs to, man, all of a sudden things start to happen. People give you compliments you know you're not deserving of. People praise you when you say, I don't know why you're praising me. There's only one praiseworthy, but thank you. I don't want to be smart aleck either. Now here's what book of James. Let's look at the book of James, and I'm not going to preach a lot longer, but I do want to make this point that if we want to not be conformed into a mold and into a particular pathway, that we shouldn't be on. We have to get transforming our mind. Go back to the medicine, and we'll go to James. Hold your spot there. Go back to the medicine. I've shared this with you before about Tim Keller, his wife coming to him. She was sick. They were in New York starting a church. Probably because they were in New York starting church is probably why she was sick. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, so she's sick. They're starting a building work there in New York. And she said to Tim Keller, this is such an interesting thing that she did. She actually pricked her finger and made blood come out and put a blood spot above the door or above the bed. They were sitting in the bed talking to get his attention. And she said to Tim, Timothy Keller, if the doctor told me that if I don't take this particular medicine every day, if he told me that, if I did not do it, I would die, what do you think I would do? He goes, you'd take the medicine every day. That's right. And what would you do? I'd see to it that you took the medicine every day. Thank you. She said, Tim, this is what I'm trying to tell you. We have got to start praying together every day. Now, they're spiritual people. They're pastors. They've been pastors. This guy's a phenomenal writer and theologian and all. They're spiritual people. But they have failed to pray together. Let me ask you something. You want to be nonconformed to the world? Let me give you one simple way to do it. Pray with your spouse. Do you pray together every morning before you start your day? And yet we say God's in control. And I'm not trying to put guilt on you. I want to inspire you, okay? I don't want to make you feel guilty. Let me tell you something. There's plenty of guilt to go around. We can find, every one of us can find some spot to be guilty in, right? So I'm not giving you that. I want to inspire you. And sometimes the men are, we're so reluctant. I mean, if somebody walked in our house, man, we would punch their lights out into the next week. And yet the enemy is trying to get your family every day, and we're not even putting a defense up against him. So she said, if we don't pray every day, Tim, I'm going to die. My spirit, as well as my body, has to have the strength of the Lord in it. And he said, that's been, I think, I don't know how many years, 40 years or so. So he, quite a long time. He's 60s. So it was early on in his ministry, I suppose, but he said he hasn't missed a night praying with her. Even if he's out of town, he calls her and they pray together. What happened? Their mind was transformed. I'm not in the flow of this world. I'm on a road less traveled. It's a straight and the narrow way. It doesn't seem right to be on this road to the world. In fact, here's what James says. Here's what happens in James chapter 4, 1 through 3. Here's what happens when we try, when we're constantly grasping for and trying to build something on our own and to make something of ourselves. James says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your... Well, he didn't have Facebook back then, or he might have put that on there. But anyway, where do wars and fights come from among you? But do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet it and you cannot obtain. You murder. Somebody says, well, I'm not murdering. How about character assassination? You murder and you covet and you cannot obtain. You fight and you war. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask, but then when you do ask, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. What the Lord's simply saying here through the book of James, and he's writing to the church, is this: you're asking for things and you're kind of angry with God, but he said it's because you're so carnal. You're asking for things to consume upon your lusts. You're not seeking God's will. You're not seeking his purpose. You're not seeking his direction. You're saying, God, make me rich so I can influence people for you. When you're already rich and you don't even know it. The mercies of God. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you can't influence people toward God with no money, you'll never do it with a lot of money. That's all. That's a, you know, oh, this celebrity got saved. Oh, how many people will he affect for God? Okay, I get the point to a limited amount. But here's what happens to most of the celebrities. They get turned on real quick. And they're made to look like some kind of nutball or something like that. They ran off track. And they may influence some people, but I want to tell you this much. So what? That's wonderful. But there are people just like you and I. But and this idea that if I can aspire to a certain lofty position, I'll influence more people for God. Let me tell you something. Stop worrying about that and just learn to trust God and teach God how to lean upon the Lord. If you need position and elevation, he will give it to you. If you don't need it because it will destroy you, he will keep it from you. Something about following a God and making, understanding that he is that his will and his purpose will be done in your life if you continue to follow him. I'm trying to come, there's a word that I was looking for and I can't get it. I'm having, like Jesse this morning, I'm having a senior moment. Anyway, so Paul goes on. I'm gonna wrap this up pretty quick here. So Paul said, this is the path that God will put you on, so that you can determine or prove what his perfect, good and perfect will is. There's not three wills. I've heard people try to break that down. His acceptable, his good, his perfect will. His will is acceptable, it is good, and it is perfect. There's no such thing as three different wills. Okay, God said, I'll permit that. His permissive will. I'll let that go. If you read God's word, there's two ways. There's your way and his way. And Apostle Paul said, if you transform your mind with his word, you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God in your life. Prove it. You test it by the word. God, am I on the right path? This is a continual thing all of our lives. Ask, seek, and knock. Somebody said, I get tired of asking. I get tired of seeking. Then you're doing something wrong. You need to have Bible study with my wife. You get three or four new questions every Bible study, every morning when we're listening to the Word of God. Well, how about this and what about that? And I'm over there. I get a lot of sermons out of that. Okay, let me Google this. The Word of God is so powerful and full of interesting information that if you ever really fall in love with God's word, you'll never be able to get enough of it. It's just like, wow. And there's a life that springs up inside of you that there's not enough novels or TV programs or anything of that nature that will ever amount to the power of God's word. There's something that happens to you that will keep you on the path you should be on when you're transformed by God's word. It's not a quick thing. It's a slow transformation. That word actually means to metamorphosize. slowly to be built into something God is building you into. But how can you do it if you're not taking your medicine? How can you be transformed if you don't read His Word? Well, the preacher preaches every Sunday. Good. But that's not enough. You need your medicine every day, because you're going to die without it. Or at the very, here's an even sadder deal, is that you make it to heaven, but you had such a horrible life down here because God wanted you to have an abundant life, and you mess it all up because you wouldn't take your medicine. And you stayed on a path that was detrimental for you. So he goes on, I'm not going to go through all of this, but Paul goes on, mark Romans 12 and go down there and read about the gifts that he's put within the church. And by the way, God has a special place for everybody in His kingdom. I was thinking today, I probably don't thank them enough, but I was thinking how appreciative I am for our sound team, for Lane and for Nathan and for JT now, who's joined that, and how they keep things hopping and popping like they should be up there. Where would we be without them? Paul goes through there, and that's a gift, one of the gifts that God gives men to help minister in the church. So Paul goes, he gives a long list. Y'all want me to go through them all and expound on every one of them? No, you don't. You say you do, but you don't. Be here a long time. But he sums it all up with this. Okay, you go back up to the top, and Paul says, don't be conformed, but be transformed. And then he starts to unpack that. Here's how you can dedicate your body as a living sacrifice. There's all kinds of work. Now, by the way, it's not just in the church. It's in your job. It's in your everyday life. I'm called to be a saint wherever I'm at, not just in the church. I don't live one way here and another way out there. I live the same both places. And that's for the glory of God. He sums it up at the bottom saying, do not be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So I was going through this week, I was able to go up to the dear Lisa Del Rio. I could tell you, a long time ago, I gave up all kinds of jobs because God called me to preach. A lot of jobs I could have had. I don't know if I'd have been rich or not, but I could have made a lot more money. What I've ever made in the ministry. All these people that want to talk about these preachers getting rich. There ain't many of them out there, people. There's a few, but ain't many. But my wife and I, we shouldn't be able to afford on the deer lease. But God blessed us, and my uncle built it, and we ended up with it at a good, reasonable price. And I was just up there thanking God. I was having a very ecstatic time in my little introverted self up there. I knew that if you called me, I couldn't get to you anyway. I didn't have to do anything but what I wanted to do up there. But it was just a time that I was relaxing and enjoying myself. And when I was coming home, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. When I was coming home, I had to go through San Antonio to pick something up for my mother, and I came through the town of Uvalde. And I will tell you, when I drove into that town and around the courthouse square, there are flowers and memorial things. There was a real sadness that hit my heart big. And I thought, you know what? I was wanting to buy my wife a gift anyway, and I thought, I'm just going to pull into this nursery right here, and I'm going to buy something that reminds me of life from Uvalde. bring home for her. And so I did. I got her. I was too emotional, and so I spent too much on the flower. But anyway, I got her a nice plant to bring home. And the little girl that was in there was so sweet and very, she was a great salesman. And she said, first thing she said, I said, I'm looking for a gift for my wife. I said, well, get her one of these gnomes right here. It kind of looks like you. I said, that gnome is ugly. Are you saying I'm ugly? We had some banter back and forth. But I said, this is kind of weird. I said, I wanted to stop and get something that reminds me of life from Uvalde because of, I'm so sad what you guys have been through, the evil that was. She said, and you know what? She said, it's surreal. She said, it still doesn't even seem real. And she said to me, there are so many unanswered questions. So many things that aren't right in this whole situation. Well, let me tell you something. Now, I don't believe in conspiracies. Well, there's this conspiracy that goes on all the time, whether you believe it or not, and it's called, Paul talked about it in Ephesians, we read it, there is a course set according to the principle, or the prince of the power of there, little p, prince of the power of there, Satan. He's doing his best to keep division and turmoil and evil on top of people. But Paul said, don't let it overcome you. And the way to keep from letting it overcome you is to overcome evil with good. I'm going to stop and buy a flower. It's a little thing, but I wanted to do some good. Support that community some way. Prayed as I went through the community. Read a really good story, and I'm going to close with this. This young man, I say young man, he may not be young, but his name is Brian Shilvey, if I'm saying it right, S-H-I-L-A-V-Y. No, he's not real young, but he's said in this article they wrote 40 years later, he said, I'm still here. Well, the first thing he starts off with in this story is that he said, my eyes opened and I thought, why am I still alive? Because he was a young man that got very tired of life and felt like there was no hope in life, and he took like 100 pills. And he said they were potent drugs because he was in the drug scene. And he woke up and thought, why am I still alive? I don't get this. So the next thing he did was thought, well, that didn't work. The next thing he did was thought, well, I just heard about a guy that ran into a telephone pole and it killed him immediately. So he started looking for a telephone pole. He's driving outside of his town, and he got his car up to 85 miles an hour and hit a telephone pole. Sheared the telephone pole completely off. And he wakes up in the hospital, beaten up somewhat, nothing seriously injured. And his dad told him, said, come on, let's go look at where you had your wreck. And interesting enough, the town that he hit the pole in was called Freedom. And the bar that was out in front of the telephone pole was called the Crash Inn. He said, my dad's telling me all this. I felt like I was in a twilight zone. But he said, the thing that came to me, there was a voice that spoke inside of my heart that said, your life does not belong to you. It belongs to me. And he started realizing God kept me alive for a reason. He said he went with his dad to the wrecking yard. The guy said, I couldn't even tow it. The wheels are so messed up. I had to pick it up. It ran through the pole, out in a culvert, turned I don't know how many times over. He said, I had to get a crane and pick it up and put it on the wrecker to bring it here. And he said, when we looked in the car, it was shredded, but that driver's seat looked as though a bubble had been around it, and there was no metal in there or anything of that nature. That's why he was getting up out of the hospital after a day or so and walking out. And he said, and from that point, I realized God has kept me alive for a reason. Now, let me tell you this. You don't have to go that far for you to understand that God has got you alive for a reason. And can I tell you something? I know this is hard for people to accept, but if you could just get a grasp on this, if he called you to be a janitor, if you'll be the best janitor you can be, you will be the happiest person in the world. And he will provide for you and bless you. Instead of, as James said, grasping, fighting, and warring with people because we're trying to get purchase and leverage above everybody else. So, this young man said he bounced around from job to job after this, trying to find, and he said he was a Christian in name. You read this over and over again from people, Christian in name, but he was not Christian in his heart. And then finally, after going through all these different jobs, and he was intelligent enough he could do the best, or he took just service jobs, and he kept saying, this ain't it, this ain't it. He was not happy. And so finally he said, you know what? Listen to these are his words. But now two major sins in my life were staring me right in the face. One was my dependence on marijuana. And the other one was planning my life without considering what God wanted me to do with my life. I kept making my own plans. I stayed on a path that I thought was right. I never bothered to ask God, is this the right way? I immediately confessed my sins to God and told him that I wasn't going to make any more decisions about my life until he told me what he wanted me to do. What happened next is truly the miracle in my life, and words cannot come close to describing the inner transformation that occurred in me that summer day in 1979. First of all, a joy and a peace flooded my being, such that I never have known, such that I never even knew it could exist in this life. It was the ultimate high. It was a high from the Holy Spirit. It was so wonderful that I took all my paraphernalia that I used to smoke pot and threw it into the dumpster outside our building. What I found was so much better than drugs that I lost all my desire to get high on drugs. I had finally walked out of the darkness into the light. And Jesus was a light, and I was now viewing things in the world in a completely new light. And he talks about how that he couldn't get enough of the Word of God. And the next thing he did was went to study the Bible, to college to study the Bible. He ended up being a writer, a healthcare individual, created for health is his blog, if you want to look it up. And he wrote, this is called How I Found Peace with God. And he writes alternative stories to the media to try to get the truth out there about health. And he sells health food and helps people to know, this is his words, to know that health has a lot more to do than just your physical self, but your spiritual self as well. God put him on a path, kept him from killing himself, kept him alive. So, well, preacher, I'm on a path I don't necessarily like, but I don't know how to get off of it. Well, I probably wouldn't know either. But I can tell you this much, I know one who does know. And if you'll start seeking him, he will put you on the right path. He will put you He will give you direction. And it's going to take some boldness, and it's going to take some courage, and it's going to take some strength, but He'll give you that too. And if you do it, I will tell you that you will be so fulfilled in your life that you'll start wondering, why in the world did I resist becoming a living sacrifice to my God for so long? These things, I just put them on the altar. I'm done with them. Come on, Callan. What a great God. What a great God. I told my wife, we say this a lot to each other. Don't we have a wonderful life? Yeah, we do. We have a wonderful life. We're blessed. Seek you first the kingdom of God. That's what you seek. His kingdom. Bring His kingdom into your home. Pray with your children. Pray with your wife. Read the word. Take your medicine. Take your life pills. Okay, whatever you want to call it. I will promise you that if you do that, there is something, that transformation that you will see in the years to come is like, wow. It's just, it's amazing. I'm not the same person anymore. Let's stand. If you would like prayer or want to come to the front to pray, we'll pray with you. Don't be ashamed. We're family. We're all family. One of the things Paul says in that Romans 12, you go read it, is don't think more highly of yourself than you are. In other words, get rid of the pride. Pride, I tell you right now, if I said today, I've got $1,000 right here, I'm going to give it to the first person up here. Somebody out there that really needed that $1,000 would not move because of their pride. Some of you that didn't need it would beat him up here anyway, probably. Just goes, $1,000, I'm going to get that. Well, what God has to offer is so much greater in value than any kind of money you could be handed. And oftentimes in pride, we sit back and don't come forward to receive. Now, you can receive it anywhere. I'm not saying this is the only place to receive it. I'm just saying lose the pride and get what God's got for you. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Sing, Callan.
More I love you. I wanna sit at Drink from the cup in your hands. Lay back against you and breathe. Feel your heart beat. It's more than I could stand. I melt in your peace. Drink from the cup in your hands. Lay back against you and breathe. Feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep. It's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace. It's overwhelming.
Thank you, Jesus. You're so amazing, Lord. You're so amazing, Lord. Hallelujah. You know what's so beautiful? Because of what Christ did for us, He became our high priest. And while I love and thankful that we have family to pray for one another, don't ever wait. Either you can call a family member. I'm talking a church family member. Or you can go directly to the throne of God wherever you're at, whenever you want to. I promise you, I've prayed on the steering wheel more than once. How about you, Randy? You ever prayed over the steering wheel? Yes, sir. Prayed over the steering wheel more than once. And the Lord's always met me there. I love you guys, all of you, and appreciate you so much. Ray, God is good. Amen. He is. Praise God. Thank y'all for being here. We're going to, Randy, let me just say this right before we close. Pat, Randy's mother just passed. Pat was awesome. She was part of our congregation once. Just awesome person. Love God, always sweet, always fun to be around, full of life, man. She just kept going like ever ready buddy, always moving. And I'm so thankful, I told my wife, I'm so grateful that you were there when your mother passed there visiting, so that was a blessing for you, I know that, so. But just remember Sister Pat and how much we loved her so much. All right, Mike, John's doing better, your brother, good. We've been praying for him. I've told my wife several times, we would be talking about it. I said, let them know we're praying for him. let them know we care. John, his brother was in the hospital. John is right, is that the name? His brother got some kind of a rare infection, and he is home from the hospital now, but we need to keep praying that God gives him a full healing in his body. So don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Philippians 4, 6 through 8. The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. And may he cover you with his name, which is Jesus. Love you. Appreciate you. God bless you.